Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob, let's get to it. The big game, of course, a lot of great games this weekend, but the big game was last night. And finally, we talked about this on Friday. Is Lamar Mahomes a rivalry? And my main contention was it can't be one-sided. I get it. They're two great quarterbacks. Yeah, young, you know, all that. But until Lamar starts winning some of these games against Mahomes, it's not a rivalry. Well, Rob, it's a rivalry. It officially is a rivalry now. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens get the victory in a thrilling game. And so now he got his first victory over the Chiefs. And you know what, Rob? I love what he said after the game. Obviously, he was happy to get the win. But he said, well, somebody asked him about celebrating or whatever it was. And he was like, well, why? We haven't won the Super Bowl yet. You know, this is just one game. We got to move on. So he kept it in perspective. So good job by Lamar Jackson. What were your thoughts and your takeaways from this?
You know, before the season started, I picked Lamar to win the MVP. When Lamar Jackson wins the MVP this year, remember this game. This is when the monkey turned right here. And is that the saying or the worm turned? Excuse me. This is when the worm turned. And Lamar put on a performance for the ages. One he needed to have. His team was getting beat. It was going to be the same old story. People were continuing to discount him and not think that he can come back. Came back from an 11-point deficit in the fourth quarter. Never done that. These are the games on national television with everybody watching where people got a chance to see how special he is. And I'm not going to overdo it or be caught up prisoner of the moment on any of that. But it's hard to deny what we saw last night and what it made me feel like. This dude may not be your prototypical quarterback, may not look like Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, may do it a different way, but my goodness, is he effective, and is he special, and is he different? I don't know how anybody could watch that game and not have a newfound respect for what this man can do on the football field. Chris, whether it lasts the rest of this year, 3 years from now, or a month from now, whatever it is, he's got something. He can do something. They've improved to 9-0 when he runs for over 100 yards. And he also made some plays that he had to. I just was impressed all the way. I believe right here, right now, we're watching the best quarterback in the AFC.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Rob Parker. I mean, you were good.
Wow.
I was disagreeing with you a little bit. Because honestly, like you say, a newfound respect. Lamar did what Lamar does. Like, Rob, even though he was 0-3 against the Chiefs and his numbers weren't as good as they are against other teams, the three games weren't blowouts. The first one, 2018, they lost in overtime. The second one was a close game. It was like 33-28 or 33-27, something like that. And then last year's was fairly, you know, two touchdown game. So for the most part, he wasn't getting blasted, and he was great last night, as you said. But I didn't gain a newfound respect for him because that's Lamar Jackson. Like, he did what he does. So I didn't, there was nothing he did. There was no play he made that I hadn't seen him do before. You can say the comeback. He doesn't often come back. So that was good. They were down 11 heading into the fourth. That was a new thing.
Right.
But I thought he played sensational. Obviously, he had the two turnovers in his first three possessions, I believe, the two interceptions. And one was, of course, a pick six by Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. But other than that, he played a great game. But let's just keep it real. So that's all good. Rob, he's the second best quarterback in the AFC. He is not better than Pat Mahomes. And obviously, you're not saying he's a better passer than Pat Mahomes. We understand that. But even his running, which is the best we've ever seen at this position, it doesn't make him better than Pat Mahomes. There's no measure in which you can say he's better than Pat Mahomes. I mean, you can say it, but it just doesn't stack up. Mahomes has the Super Bowl. Mahomes has the Super Bowl MVP. Mahomes has more regular season wins. Mahomes' numbers are better. Even if you add in the rushing for Jackson, Mahomes' total yardage is light years ahead of his. The touchdowns are way more, almost double. Like, he's better. It doesn't. Lamar's great. Lamar's en route to a Hall of Fame career. But not only is Mahomes better now, but, and this, Lamar has proved the skeptics wrong. Now, I don't mean skeptics that didn't think he could play quarterback, but skeptics that didn't think he could stay healthy with the style of play this long. And I was one of them. I love his style. I've just never seen it, you know, be for 10, 12 years. And if he can, so what Mahomes does is not only better right now, but it is more sustainable, I believe. And history tells us. So Jackson is great, and you were fine. I'm not going to go overboard, but then you went overboard. He is not better than Patrick Mahomes, but he's the second-best quarterback in the AFC. Josh Allen's struggling. We've only seen Josh be great for 1 year. Derek Carr's playing well, but, you know, we know his history. You can't say he's better than Lamar at this point. You know, Justin Herbert's young. He's playing well, but right now Lamar – with the dynamic running ability, and it is different. He is ahead of those guys, but there is no way I can put him, and I'd be shocked if anybody else puts him ahead of Patrick Mahomes.
And Lamar versus Mahomes, I'm going to give you the numbers again. First 3 years of their career, Lamar 30-7.
Why do you go first 3 years? Because Mahomes only played one game his first year?
No,
but don't you go the whole career? They're both young.
No, but them going the 3 years that they both were in the league together, right? Their first 3 years starting in the game. First 3 years.
Starting?
Their first 3 years. First 3 years.
As starters or their first 3 years? Because Mahomes didn't play his first year.
Yeah, but he
did
play the last game
or two.
Yeah, but I'm going to give you – all right, I'm just going to give you what they are.
I mean, that's a big deal. He only played one game his first year.
30-7 for Jackson, 24-7 for Mahomes. Jackson, 87 touchdowns. Mahomes, 80.
Rob,
quarterback rating, Mahomes, 107. Jackson, 102.6. Both have an MVP. Lamar has a first-team All-Pro.
Come on.
Mahomes has a first-team All-Pro and one second-team All-Pro. That's all.
Rob, it's just who you think you're talking to?
I'm just giving you numbers.
You skewed them. Of course, Jackson didn't play his first year. I mean, not Jackson, Mahomes. Here's the career numbers. Regular season wins. Postseason is not even comparable. So we know Mahomes is light years ahead of him now. Regular season career, Mahomes 39-9 in the regular season. Jackson 31-8. Advantage Mahomes. Completion percentage 66-64. Advantage Mahomes. Yards passing per game 309, 157. Throwing Lamar 64.5 yards a game rushing. And still way at big advantage Mahomes. Passer rating, 109.5 Mahomes, 101.9 Jackson. Touchdowns, 120 passing to 70 passing. 21 extra rushing ones for Jackson, 7 extra for Mahomes. I mean, it's 127-91 touchdowns. Interceptions, Mahomes throws almost twice as much, has 25 picks. Lamar's got 20 picks. Like, I mean, and I'm not trying to diss Lamar because he's great. But you can't throw out the numbers in a skewed way that's going to make it look like they're saying something they don't.
And which of the two was the unanimous MVP? Which
okay, so that means he's better?
No, I'm just asking.
Steph Curry is unanimous MVP. He's better than LeBron James?
I just asked you a question. It was just a question.
Said Lamar. So does that mean – what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything to me.
I was asking. It was a pretty unbelievable accomplishment to be despite the numbers. So
it's a great accomplishment.
Right now, I think that Lamar is the best quarterback in the AFC. Last night – to beat the Chiefs,
they
come back when they had
15
players. How many players were hurt? 15. They had two running backs out. They're starting running back. I mean, that's an incredible win against a team that's supposed to be unbeatable almost. I thought the Chiefs were. I've never seen a Mahomes team lose a game where they led by double digits that late in the game. It's never happened. So this might be the crack in the Chiefs' armor. This might be that he busted the kryptonite.
I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment.
I'm not.
Yeah, all you're saying is prisoner of the moment.
I love it.
They won because Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back, fumbled. Period. Mahomes was about to win that game. And I'm not going to take it away because all breaks happen all the time. Okay, but I'm just, you're overstating it. Mahomes is the better QB.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
We are the Odd Couple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. He's a Hall of Fame defensive back. He's deserving of every note, every beat, every bass line, every strum of the guitar in this song. He's a Fox Sports Radio NFL analyst, one of our favorites, Rod Woodson. What's up, brother?
What's happening?
What's going on, my brothers from another mother?
We are great, my man.
Great to hear your voice, as always.
All right, let us get right to it, Rod. That game last night, Kansas City, Baltimore. Kansas City, and I got them picked to win it all. Their defense is leaky, right? I mean, what is the problem, and can it be fixed?
Yeah, man. I mean, it just seems like there's so many issues. It just seems like they're, you know, guys are out of position. Guys are, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the year they won the Super Bowl, how they started out so slow and they were kind of sluggish. We kept saying, man, you know, the Achilles heel of that team was going to be the defense. And
right. They
kind of got it together at the end of the year well enough to win the Super Bowl. I mean, the offense is good enough to win, you know, but if they're giving up, you know, 27, 30 points a game, that's going to be tough for them to score week in and week out that many points in the National Football League. And I know how dynamic you got the quarterback is, Mahomes, and they got Tyreek Hill, and they got Travis Kelce, and they got Hartman, they got Elair. I get it. But there's going to come a point where they're not going to score a lot of points.
Right.
And the defense is going to have to show up. And if they don't improve somewhere along the line, you can't keep saying the same thing every year. We've said it for 3 years running now, right? That they got to be more consistent on the defense. And that's what's concerning. They're just not consistent. You know, they'll play well, and then they look like they never played defense. They look like they've never been in this system before, and it's the same system. And that's what's alarming, that, you know, it's every single year we said the same thing about them, and it has to be fixed.
How about on the other side, Lamar and the performance he put on, you know, coming back from 11 points down, the running over 100 yards, and now 9-0 when he rushes for more than 100 yards, just everything.
Yeah.
It was a big win to finally – he called the Kansas City Chiefs and Mahomes his kryptonite, and – he beat it last night. That was a big win for them, I think, last night.
Oh, it was huge. A huge win for him and how he played. You know, that run he had right before half, and it wasn't for a touchdown, but it was for, like, 15 yards
was
or
that
so.
When he juked about six dudes?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Like the schoolyard,
yes.
Right, the schoolyard.
In the middle of the field.
Right, right.
It wasn't like he was zigzagging all over the place. He was in like a five-yard box.
Right.
And he was juking everybody out. I was like, this dude is the real – this dude is like the human X button.
He's something to watch. He's something to watch.
Now, my one thing I would say – man, don't flip in the end zone. Well, you can't afford to lose him.
No, and he don't got a contract signed yet, Rod. Hello.
No. I mean, if I'm his friend, if I'm in the locker room with him, I'm saying, yo, bro, you can't flip in the end zone because if we lose you,
right.
And you saw he landed on his hip. I mean, obviously he was fine, but you never know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't do anything unnecessary in those spots. Let me ask you about the Cowboys. They got a win, but, boy, it was by the skin of their teeth. The Chargers hurt themselves. They had a missed field goal. Two touchdowns brought back for penalties. I mean, easily they could have won that game. What do you make of the Cowboys and where they are?
I think the offense is there. I mean, you know, everybody was trying to figure out what, you know, Dak was going to look like. But he's a player. All right, he can play quarterback in the National Football League. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. He's a difference maker for that football team. The defense, I'm still concerned about their defense. I thought the Chargers were going to win that football game. They really should have won the football game, but shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, if it was the fifth, we'd all be drunk. You know, they didn't. You know, so the Cowboys did. So you got to take your hat off to them. They didn't play their best game, and they still won.
Right.
And so you have to take your hat off to that. But I'm still concerned about their corners. I don't know if they can hold up throughout the whole year. I don't know if they have that depth. If anybody does get hurt, who the next guys are going to come up and hopefully make plays. But they are a better football team this year than they were last year.
I think, too, Rod, with the Cowboys, Zeke was fine yesterday, but Tony Pollard looks better. And I know they're going to stick with a two running back system, so it won't be – I don't know that it'll become an issue. But is that what you're saying? Zeke doesn't look the same to me. He looks like a guy that when the hole's there, he can get through it and be okay. But Pollard was kind of making stuff happen. What do you see with those two?
I think you're right. I think, you know, my eye test is telling me he doesn't look as explosive as he did before, right? Now, I don't know what that is. I mean, he came in camp in more better shape than in the previous years, and he looks not the same.
Right.
So I don't know what that really is saying, and I don't know if he needs to get his legs under him. I'm not really sure. Pollard just looked like he has that burst, that explosion that Zeke used to have. But then also, Zeke would a lot of times make that first defender miss. And he's not doing that consistently like he used to do. So, you know, you got to hope that somewhere along the line he gets a feel for the game again and his game, you know, reaches the level that the Cowboys believe in. And I think that he still believes it, that he has. And then, you know, if they have that, because they got some good young receivers and they got one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Rod, let me ask you about your Steelers. And coming off that big win in Buffalo, I thought, oh, wow. Like, they were down 10-0 early in that game. They come back. They win convincingly against a really good team. And then they play the Raiders at home, and doesn't happen. Where are the Steelers? What can we expect from them? I don't have them making the playoffs. I think Chris does. Right, Chris? You have them? Right?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't either? Okay, no. We both don't have them making the playoffs.
Well, I mean – I can see them making the playoffs, but I'm a little concerned. And I know you can't really complain about players being injured. They have, what, five or six of their starters not playing. And when T.J. Watt went down, the pressure was gone.
Right.
I mean, there was no more really real pressure on a consistent basis on Derek Carr, so he was comfortable back there. And then, you know, Joe Hayden didn't play, and there all the other corners who did play concerns me. I mean, they concern me. I mean, every time the ball went up, they didn't make the plays, and the receivers made the plays. That's concerning. You got to hope that somewhere along the line, you know, Mike Tomlin get some going, rally the troops. I know he has some good players on this team. I know they'll get healthy, so I know they'll play better. But you got to take your hats off to the Raiders. I mean, nobody would, if anybody would have said at the beginning of the year or during the summer, and they would have went to a sports betting bookie and said, you know what, in the AFC, the Las Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos are going to be 2-0 after the first 2 weeks, they would have won a lot of money.
Right.
They would have won a lot of money. Nobody would have thought that.
You think the Raiders are for real?
I think they are, because if the corners can keep holding up, and Gus has done a really good job of changing the mindset of that defense, and if you paid attention to what they're doing with Abram, he's in the box. He's in the box and making plays. He's not playing in space. You know, so that's the good thing that they're doing. They got a nice little pass rush. The corners are playing pretty good football right now. They haven't played against any elite receivers yet, but they're playing really good football. And if they can keep doing that, and you can get, you know, Jacobs can get healthy and play again. You know, he's that beast of running the football. Derek Carr's throwing the ball to those speed receivers and one of the best tight ends in the National Football League. I mean, Miami's coming in, you know, kind of like a wounded dog.
Right.
And the Raiders can be 3-0 for the first time since 2002.
I think it's
when
possible.
When you were there.
When I was playing. That was a long time ago.
Wow.
That's our man, Rob Woodson. We appreciate
Thanks,
the knowledge as always, brother. Have a good week.
I appreciate you guys.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox. We've been covering sports for decades, you and I. So we've heard it described that, you know, top athletes have to have a short memory, right? That's a cliche.
Right.
You got to be able to forget, you know, mistakes in the past and things like that and get ready to go ahead and make amends right away. And Lamar did that. He showed that he had a short memory through the pick six on the first possession, and I believe it was the third possession, Rob, for him that he threw the interception, the second interception, to the Honey Badger. But he showed that he had a short memory. I also think, Rob, that he has something I'm going to call selective obliviousness.
Selective obliviousness.
Here's what I mean.
I think your English professors from Oberlin just cringed when you said that.
You know, little fun fact. When I was at Oberlin, I was a writing tutor.
Were you?
Yes, I was an English major, and I was a writing tutor. So I would sit in the library, and all the students would come to me, and I would help them with their papers. So your boy was doing this thing.
Unbelievable.
But anyway, so here's what I mean. Lamar is not oblivious to what is important. He knows what's going on in his locker room. He knows what his teammates are thinking. He knows what the organization and coaching staff want from him and so on and so forth. But I think, Rob, I really feel like Lamar is darn near oblivious, unaware even, of the outside noise. I don't think he cares that people say you can't run this much. I don't think he cares that people say you can't win the big games. Right. You only got one playoff win. I don't think, obviously, when he came in the league, he didn't care that people said you can't play quarterback. And even the kryptonite comment, Rob, I think that was blown out of proportion. Because if you look at it, he was not saying it like, and, you know, maybe you're going to say I'm psychoanalyzing or whatever, but just looking at him, looking at his body language, looking at the clip of it, it didn't come off like he was saying, yo, they just better than us. I mean, we got no answers. We can't beat them. They're just too good. You know, it wasn't like that. He was finishing a reporter's question, if you remember. The reporter was like, Lamar, they 3-0 now. They seem to be like, and he's like, our kryptonite. Like, you know what I mean? He just threw it out.
Right.
And I think it took on a life of its own. But you didn't hear him, you know, combat that narrative. You didn't hear him, you know, talking about what people are saying and this and that, Rob. He seems, and this is a good thing, he doesn't seem to care or perhaps even be aware of all of the outside noise. And I like that, and I think that's big for his success.
No, I agree. And he has been able to just shake it all off and just keep playing. You know what I mean? He's unconventional. Remember Bill Polian before the draft? Yep. He should try out for wide receiver. I mean,
isn't Polian a Hall of Famer, I think?
Yes. Yeah, this is a Hall of Fame executive, Chris, who said on ESPN he should be a wide receiver. This guy was a unanimous MVP as a quarterback. And now he's continuing to, you know, he can't win a playoff game, and then he won a playoff game. And he just continues to fight through, and I think you're 100% right. I don't think he's caught up in the social media or what other talking heads are talking about or what people are saying. He doesn't seem to be affected at all. Like, because if he were, with all the doubt about him, that despite what the successes he's had, he probably would be a wreck. But he doesn't seem to be bothered, and he just keeps playing. You said it. Yesterday was a perfect example. You get down early, right? You think, here we go again.
Right. Right.
And it doesn't faze you. And then that last drive, they ran the ball, I think, 11 out of 14 times. And he came up with the big, you know, with there were just so many big runs that they needed.
The two touchdown runs, yeah.
Yeah, that they needed to win.
And even the first down run.
Oh, the fourth and one.
For a fourth down, yeah, fourth down run. So, all right, let's move on to – I'm going to be honest, Rob. I think this guy is the second best quarterback in the NFL. I think Pat Mahomes is the best. And I said it in preseason. So this is not, prisoner of the moment. This is not, you know, anything like that. He's my pick, preseason pick for MVP this year. And that's Tom Brady. And I never thought I'd say that about a 44-year-old, Rob. But he is playing lights out football. ESPN said that they think he's playing the best, you know, this is just one writer's opinion, of course, but that he's playing the best football of his career. And the numbers are certainly there. The Buccaneers, Rob, they're the first team in NFL history, under him, obviously, to score at least 30 points and win 9 straight games. So 30 points in 9 straight games. And that includes the playoffs, so it's good competition. If you want to poo-poo, oh, Dallas, Atlanta, okay, but it includes the playoffs from last year where you're playing the best of the best. He also, Rob, is the only quarterback who has reached, you know, 30 points in 8 straight games. You know, he did that twice in New England, 2010, 2007. He's thrown for 4 touchdowns in 4 straight games, dating back, of course, to last season. That ties Dan Marino in 1984 for the second longest streak in league history behind Peyton Manning, who's got 5. So maybe Brady will tie that coming up. But, Rob, the way he's playing, and I've said, and you may even remember this because I said it on our air, when in his last year in New England, and they were 12-4. I mean, he led them to a good record, but obviously they got beat early in the playoffs. But I felt like and said he's no longer good enough to carry mediocre skill position players deep in the playoffs. And you know, they didn't have anything at the skill positions in New England for the most part. But give him some weapons, and that's what I thought New England should have done. Kept him and got some weapons. They didn't. He goes to Tampa Bay. Rob, he has got weapons galore. If it ain't Mike Evans, it's Chris Godwin. If it's not Godwin, it's Antonio Brown. If it's not Antonio Brown, it's Gronkowski. If it's not him, it's O.J. Howard or Cameron Brate. And Leonard Fournette now is running like as well as ever. And that even is backed up statistically for Fournette, who, you know, had some good years in Jacksonville. And so with these weapons, Rob, you look at his touchdowns this year, they look fairly easy. He's throwing the ball really well. He's throwing it well downfield. I actually think, Rob, that he could have his best season ever. I've picked him for MVP. Obviously, right now, I would say he's the front runner. But, you know, you got Derek Carr, and it's so early, but Matt Stafford. You know, there are guys obviously right there at this point. But if he wins the MVP at 44 and puts up big numbers, it's hard to say that's not what it reminds me of 07. This is the last thing I'll say before you take the mic. It reminds me of 07 when he got Randy Moss and he threw for 50 touchdowns. That was a Tom Brady I'd never seen. And I was like, dang, like this dude, give him a weapon and he's ridiculous. And now it's kind of looking like that right now to me.
Yeah, I don't believe he'll have a better season than he had that year with Randy Moss. I'm not buying it. I think he's had a combination of obviously the playoff run, but he's had a lot of weak competition too in that stretch. A lot of bad teams, a lot of bad defenses, and it is what it is. I'm not saying you got to play the teams that you're on the schedule, but a lot of that is fat. You know, is stockpiling against some pretty bad. I believe in that stretch you just talked about, they've played Atlanta three times in that stretch, and Atlanta's horrendous defensively. But that's fine. I mean, they're on the schedule. I don't believe that he'll wind up. It's still too early. We talked about it before. Russell Wilson had even a more incredible, you said it was 7 or 8 game stretch where he was throwing 5 and 6 touchdowns. He was unbelievable, and he didn't even get an MVP vote. Too early for me to think that this will continue at this rate. The Bears weren't that – I mean, now who'd they play week one? I'm thinking
Dallas.
Dallas. Dallas didn't make the playoffs a year ago. They barely squeaked out a win over the Chargers, so I don't know where Dallas is and how good they'll be when it's all said and done. And we already know where the Falcons are. So these two wins, when you look back at them, might not be as impressive. So he's playing well. Playing against the teams that are on the schedule, but I don't have that sense. Maybe if he plays well against the Rams defense and that the next big game coming up, let's see how he plays in that game.
Yep.
And more so than dueling Matthew Stafford, I want to see him against the Rams defense, you know, and I think from there I'll have a better feel on where Tom Brady is. I don't think I can give a fair fair feel of where he is given the competition he's played. Is that fair?
Well, I would say it's fair to say you can't say he'll continue on this pace, obviously. But even if it's, as you said, it's not the best competition, it's still the NFL. Other quarterbacks face weak competition too. Wouldn't you acknowledge, I mean, this dude is playing some lights out football. He's throwing the ball like incredible.
Yeah, I said he's playing very well, but I still like who you play against when you play some of the tougher competition is I just want to see exactly where he is against the Rams defense. If he shreds the Rams defense, then I'll have to be on the side that you are. If he struggles and doesn't play that well, then I'll take a look at it and say, well, maybe it ain't going to be the greatest season ever for Tom Brady.